Thanks, everyone, for sticking around. We now will move to our committee meetings for June 23rd. We have the you have your agenda and packet. First up for the agenda is Academic Affairs, Chair Bell.
Mr. Chairman, if
yes.
I may just take a little point of order here. I'd like to thank Regent McKinney for Jason has provided us with these wonderful leather-bound portfolios, and I think he ought to tell us about this Kentucky industry that is, if you don't mind, but thank you very much.
They're a local leather shoelace manufacturer, and this is repurposed leather from their scrap that they make custom products for, and they're actually working with PBS. That she was telling me about that partnership, so I thought I'd have her make us some.
Wow.
Her family's been in it since 1863.
And they are located in
Auburn. Auburn Leather Company. Very nice company.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jake.
The American made leather shoelaces.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard Ridley, for bringing that to our attention. Again, thank you, Jason. Regent Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Regent Ridley, for interjecting that as part of the academic.
I'm practicing.
As a little bit of follow-up to some of the things Ann had in her presentation, I think the academic committee is a good place to talk about disruptive innovation. We got a taste of that last time with Jerry today's presentation on alternative methods. But I think we'll hear a lot about strategy the next few months in this board and how to be part of it. We also heard about the importance of individuals supporting it, and this may be a good time to salute a gentleman who passed away within the last 24 hours, who probably, as an individual, has done as much for Western as anyone else. Mr. Jerry Baker. So I'd like to salute him as well. He's been a significant part of our activity. And as you can see from our items on the agenda, the academic departments never rest. Trying to pursue our mission, and we have a number of items. I think we have individuals here today to maybe explain a few of them. And with that, I'm going to turn things over to our provost, David.
Thank you, Dr. Bale. And yes, I do think what you see here is a kind of mini catalog of the kind of vitality that is working itself out among faculty and staff all across this campus. I want to begin by talking through seven new minors and certificates posed from four different colleges, addressing a variety of issues on campus and in the broader community. But I do think that taken collectively, these seven are a good indication of the kind of dynamism that the faculty brings to the university community on an ongoing basis. So I really am delighted to have the opportunity to talk with you all about these this afternoon. The first is a graduate certificate in economic data analytics, and it is coming from the Gordon Ford College in the Department of Economics. And Alex Lebedinsky is here to talk about that. And Alex, if you could say just a little bit by way of introducing this program to the board.
So I'll start out by saying that we already have a master's in applied economics, in which we emphasize greatly teaching the data analytics, of course, the economics program. We teach our students how to work with data, how to make sense out of it. And our graduates have been extremely successful. The market is spending very little time on recruiting for jobs, so they're earning, starting with very high salaries. So what we're trying to accomplish with this certificate is just take the most valuable part of this degree and package it into a shorter program and offer it to our students. So as a result, what we can do is without virtually any additional cost, because we're using all the existing resources, students are going to be taking existing classes within a regular teaching load, we'll be able to offer quite a few benefits to professional students. So specifically, this will allow the students who are interested in the data analytical skills but cannot afford the length or the financial expense of the regular master's program to obtain these valuable skills. So specifically, we'll be about the target and the work with adults who cannot commit to a full-time degree, or any students who recently graduated from high school that have worked at these skills that they are looking for. So the field of data analytics is going to continue to grow. And I think, Census Bureau, for example, projected that it is going to continue to grow at a much faster pace than the rest of the job market. So I think we can offer a viable and self-sustaining program, because there is not a similar program offered in the rest of the state. I think it's, we can kind of corner a niche market there.
First of all, congratulations on doing this. It's a really good thing to do. I would like you to contribute to my professional development and help me understand the difference between economic data analytics and data analytics, because we talk so much about data analytics in general. How does this?
It's a great question. I think data analytics typically focuses on the more technical aspects of how we manage large amounts of data. But I think where we offer specific skills are how to focus on figuring out which questions can be answered and how to answer those questions. So we don't focus so much on kind of data wrangling, but actually a more intuitive part of what we do with the data, how we answer questions with the data.
And I think what we may do, unless someone objects, we'll go through all seven and we'll...
And vote once on all seven. Okay, that'd be fine.
Thank you, Alex.
And one thing I might add here parenthetically, you'll notice that a number of these are certificates. This is something that in academic affairs we're experimenting with a bit more, that's a different kind of credentialing, as Alex indicates, in some cases a more specific or targeted kind of credentialing than perhaps a minor. So while certificates have not been a big part of our four-year degree programs in the past, we're taking a serious look at making them a bigger component of the kinds of things that we're doing going forward, and you're seeing some good examples of that, I think, today. The second one on our list is a graduate certificate in addiction education, something that obviously addresses a very significant problem nationally and here in the Commonwealth. And Andrea Jenkins from Counseling and Student Affairs is here to talk a bit about that. Andrea?
So I'm going to make Dr. Lee. I'm actually Dr. Dye. Andrea was supposed to be here, and I came in her place, so sorry about that.
My apologies.
That's okay. Andrea is this beautiful, bubbly woman, so I can take on her characteristics as well. I am going to read a little bit off this, because you all, I'm passionate about this topic, and I can go on forever, and I want to make it to the point. It is a 15-hour interdisciplinary certificate program, and from the Department of Counseling and Student Affairs, this certificate was once upon a time... It was once upon a time approved, and then there was a time that passed where I guess there wasn't as much of a need, but now, it's, as Dr. Lee said, there's a high need for this, and this is open to not only our students, but people who have a bachelor's degree that may work in environments where there's addiction and there's some support or need for addiction support. So the 15-hour program that we've created is actually online, and we are excited about opening it up to those with a bachelor level mental health support, or even those with a master's degree.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I do think that this, with our opioid, that's what it's called.
Opioid, the issue, right now.
That, I think that there will be state and federal funding to try to help with that in the near future, right, we would hope. This certificate certainly will allow those that are non-traditional students, you said, with bachelors. This is being on the front side of change, and I think this is very positive. Thank you.
Next on our list is a minor in computer animation, and this is from the art department in Potter College, and Brent Oglesby is here to talk about that. Brent, you want to say a few words about this?
Great. Good morning. The Department of Art has had the capacity and courses that are arranged around graphics and computer animation in some fashion, much more driven toward a graphic design perspective. And the person that is professor, has always had an itch to sort of bring just a personal aesthetic to this that is less about creator, more about an aesthetic as a painting or sculpture might be. Professor Jun Sung is currently being screened, down at the Frisk Museum. So this is a person who knows what he speaks on. We believe that a lot of the students coming to the Department of Art are interested in computer animation, both for its ability to be career-driven, but also as an aesthetic. And so this is an attempt to sort of fill a gap that we felt we've had in our curriculum for some time. So I'm here to answer questions if there are any.
And I think this also links nicely with our film major in some very significant ways. Next, an undergraduate certificate in health informatics, and Jan Hunt Shepherd is back here in the corner.
Health informatics is kind of an upcoming thing within healthcare. All these other industries have used technology for many, many years. And we now have a federal mandate for records and information technology. And we developed the certificate to give any healthcare student here at Western an opportunity to take advantage of the health informatics jobs that are now available. There's research that shows that the job market is where it's growing at twice the rate of other overall employment, and money-wise, pay rates are $41,000 to about $98,000, depending on which specialty they go into. So we think this is a great opportunity for our students.
Any questions or comments?
Can you speak to the need for that one? In the older positions of they need all the help that we
And we have a package of three programs from the Department of Public Health, and Gary English is here to present those. So, Gary, if you'd start with the certificate in public health.
Sure, I'll just talk about all the certificates in general, because our accrediting body has pretty much given us the flexibility to change the program. Generally, the certificates that we're moving forward with, just people who are currently in the field, the opportunity to expand their knowledge in the area of interest. And, you know, unless they were enrolled as a full-time student, they would have to take a role that they would, and a minor, they could certainly get it that way, but moving it toward the certificate gives them the opportunity to gain the knowledge that these faculty feel like we have to offer.
And this one is unique in Kentucky?
There are other programs around, but at the certificate, we know that the local health departments are trying to attach themselves to academic institutions. They're going through an accrediting process, and part of that requires them to have a connection with an institution of higher education. So, for example, some other.
Is there anything else, anything you'd like to add about the other two, or is that just kind of your general statement about all three of them?
Just general. The others kind of fall in line. I didn't want to get into the accreditation thing, but up until this year, we were required to have a concentration area. They've lifted that requirement, and that allowed us to move forward with certificates in place of the concentration. So we can do minors, where individuals who perhaps were in the concentration before now can pick that up as a minor, and now we have the flexibility to offer the program as a certificate for those who are currently in the field.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, would you like to act on all seven of these now at one time?
I think so, unless anyone disagrees, wants to take one of those out, I would entertain a motion for approval of action item number 7.
Second.
Motion and a second.
Oh,
all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Here.
Thank you. 1.8 is a recommendation about a name change for what is currently the Department of Family and Consumer Sciences, and the department head, Travis Wilson. Travis, if you could kind of give us a little context on this nomenclature.
Well, this has been a process we've talked about for several years in the department. You've seen a shift from the Family and Consumer Sciences concentration, which is our lowest number. To our largest number, which is not in management, academics, interior side of fashion, merchandising. One of our issues as we visit high schools, we'll ask the question, well, what is consumer sciences? Silence. I've been doing them for about 8 years. When you talk about hospitality management, they see career fields, and that's the other side. As we see things change, shift job markets, we have 100% employment with our interior design students. Our dietetics are both up. They graduate within a month. Hospitality management for jobs here and everywhere. So we're seeing this change. And then our benchmark institutions, Middle Tennessee, Ball State, are changing. The only thing we're doing to it, doing this different, is area of life. Everything is everything. Drawing to visiting sites. That's the main rationale. And then under a department vote, the only two people that were not for the name change is the we all understand. Historically, that is our background. But we're in this shift for decades now, and we see the students are finding us. And that's a big thing when students leave their major, they're told that that's not there because they're not looking. Several factors. We want to be within the trend, but still respect our background, our home economics fields. But we still have those programs, but they are very small in relationship to all the other programs that we have. Thank you. Questions?
I'll entertain the motion to approve the name change to Applied Human Sciences. Motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Like sign. Motion passes. We have a distinguished professor.
We have a recommendation for a new addition to the ranks of University Distinguished Professor, which is the highest designation that the university bestows on a faculty member. It's reserved for folks who have been full professors for a certain period of time at least, and who have an outstanding record across the board in teaching, in scholarship, and in service. We never recommend any more than two in 1 year. This year we only have one recommendation for you, and that is Dr. Albert Meyer, who is a faculty member in the Department of Biology. He has a doctorate from the University of Georgia, and he has been here at WKU for just exactly 20 years. He is an outstanding teacher, and under his mentorship, many of his students have earned nationally prestigious Goldwater and Boren scholarships, the kinds of things that we like to pride ourselves on as an institution. Albert has played an important role in helping students to achieve these kinds of things. He's also been very successful in grants activity. As you can see, he's secured over $4 million in grant funding as a primary investigator, and another $1.5 million as a co-investigator, and he's involved students very regularly in his research and in his grants work. His particular specialty is biodiversity, conservation, and he has played a crucial role in the acquisition and the management and the ongoing work at the WKU Upper Green River Biological Preserve in Hart County, and he has received significant awards, especially at the state level, for his work in conservation, in stewardship of the land. He is recently appointed to the Kentucky Heritage Land Conservation Fund Board as a representative of the Kentucky Academy of Sciences. So in terms of his work with students, in terms of this kind of scholarship that he does, and in terms of the impact that he has down off this hill and out into a broader community, I think Albert Meyer is a very worthy recipient of the title of University Distinguished Professor. And I'm happy to join the faculty in the Department of Biology, the biology department head, Dean Stevens, and the University Distinguished Faculty Review Committee, all of whom unanimously recommend Albert for this honor.
I have a comment. Just, mm-hmm. You know, my daughter graduated with her undergraduate and master's here in biology. And I do not know every professor that she had, but I know that she had Dr. Meyer because I heard the stories. She was so impressed with him and the trips to the preserve that he took the students on. He just did an outstanding job. And I know as a student, she, you know, really truly valued him as a professor and what she learned from him and gained from him. But and that's just one example, and I'm sure there are many, many, many more stories of students that, that thought so highly of him. But I really did, you know, I know that she as a student was really impressed with him, and I think he's very deserving of this honor.
He brings an extraordinary level of passion and commitment to this, and I'm sure that's exactly what your daughter experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I think among several things that he's done there, important work's been done on the Green River mussel population.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then I remember being there many years ago when they were planting the American chestnut trees out there that I think he was creating a population of. So interesting guy, to say the least.
He is a very interesting gentleman, absolutely.
His wife, Wita, is equally as impressive with her scholarship and teaching and research as well.
Yes, yes.
Any other comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion for approval of University Distinguished Professor appointment for Dr. Albert Meyer.
So moved.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? One time.
Thank you.
Last item.
The last item is I would like to recommend for your approval five folks for emeritus appointments. The first of these, and these are all folks who have served the institution for a long time and have had a significant impact in some very different ways. And since we're talking about University Distinguished Professors, two of these folks hold the title of University Distinguished Professor. The first person I'd like to talk with you about briefly this morning is Jackie Pope Torrance, who is a professor of psychology. She's also served as the associate dean of the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences. She's been a part of WKU for over three decades, and she's been extraordinarily active and effective in issues around diversity, cultural awareness. She served on numerous committees, numerous boards working toward those goals. In fact, I was in a meeting with her just yesterday with a large committee that's working on the university's diversity plan. So even as she moves into full retirement status, she continues to be an active participant in important conversations on our campus. I think it's also significant to note that she is not only a theoretical leader in education. She served for a dozen years on the Bowling Green Independent School District Board. She has also served on the Kentucky School Boards Association. She has worked with students at the 11th Street Academy. And Jackie Pope Torrance has been a significant presence on this campus for a long time and has impacted some of the most important discussions that we have as a community. Second person that I'd like to recommend to you today for emeritus status is Richard Roberts. Dick Roberts has been here since the mid-1970s. He is associated with KTIP, with the Kentucky Teacher Internship Program, which he essentially oversaw on this campus from the time it was created until his retirement. That said, and sometimes I see the world through the eyes of my daughter and always find that very interesting, Dick has also played a very important supportive role in our gifted studies program. He's worked a whole lot with students in a volunteer capacity in summer programs, but his role in KTIP and preparing new teachers to move into the profession and in working with students has really been remarkable and has had a significant impact over a long period of time. Dr. Frank Kersting is a professor of communication sciences and disorders. He has played an extraordinarily important role in the Suzanne Vitale Center for Education. CEC,
Clinical
Education Complex, thank you. He has played an extraordinarily important role in that from the very beginning of the CEC. He has made some interesting moves in his career. After he left WKU about 10 years or so ago, he and his wife joined the Peace Corps and went to Ukraine. But Frank is now back and is now chair of the advisory board of CEC, but he continues to play a very important role in the autism-related services that this campus makes available. Mel Borland in the Department of Economics is one of the two university distinguished professors who is on our list today. Mel is an extraordinary teacher, somebody who probably will continue to teach as long as he can find a section. We'd be happy to continue to put him in the classroom. He is frequently mentioned by graduating seniors as one of the most influential faculty members that they have worked with. He's worked on student achievement. He's worked on school performance. He's worked some on the impact of athletics on university campuses. But Mel is one of those creative, inquisitive minds. He always has the next question, and he always kind of leaves me thinking, why didn't I think to ask that question too? He really is a very significant intellect, and somebody who has played a really defining and shaping role in the Gordon Ford College of Business. And the last person is Dr. Richard Weigel. Dr. Richard Weigel has been here since 1976. He has had an unswerving commitment to liberal education, to the role of general education in the undergraduate curriculum, and he has served in that role in a number of different ways. I have especially appreciated the academic leadership that he has provided on this campus over a long period of time. Back when he and I both started here, everybody said one day Richard Weigel is going to be head of the history department, and it was no great surprise that he was head of the history department for 9 years, and he was so good at it that I came back to him and asked if he would also be willing to do a year as head of the Department of Modern Languages. So Richard is somebody who has served this campus in a lot of different ways, and if you watch the History Channel, you may see him crop up on some of the documentaries about ancient Rome. He's a very accomplished and successful scholar. And after he gave up being head of the History Department has term limits. He has devoted an enormous amount of time to advising students. He's one of the most committed and active advisors that I've ever encountered. And he is the one of these five who is here today. So Richard is right over here, and I'd like to ask him to stand. So a very distinguished group, a group that will be hard to replace, but fortunately a group of folks who continue to find ways to be active in the campus community.
Any comments? I will say, and I think we'll throw Dr. Meyer in with this too, as higher education deals with the changes we have facing us, student-faculty relationships like what these people had established really are the difference makers I see for bricks and mortar universities like ours to continue to be successful and attract students, because you just cannot replace that mentorship and relationship that people like Dr. Weigel and others offer our students. So I appreciate you being here as well. We like to actually be able to see who these people are, even though I know Dr. White from before. So, any
two quick things to add to, it seems entirely appropriate that I would insert this into the Academic Affairs Committee discussion. Over the last couple of weeks, I have been compelled to make two appointments. One, Mary Ellen Miller as the official poet laureate of WKU. And those of you, I don't know if we have any board members who was on the board, but Mary Ellen served maybe a year or two. She served on our board for at least two terms as faculty regent. And has been on our faculty for a modest 54 years. And just absolutely the consummate scholar. And she'll be with us this evening. So what an honor to be able to bestow that title on Professor Mary Ellen Miller. As recommended by the department head, Rob Hale in English, and Dean Larry Snyder in Potter College of Arts and Letters, and Provost Lee. The second one did not come with recommendations. It was one that absolutely I'm honored to be able to do, and that is to appoint David Lee as the official university historian. And I don't know that that's anything that's in our university structure, and I don't know that we've ever had an official university historian before. I guess Lowell Harrison was the closest to that, who wrote the definitive history of WKU from our founding in 1906 until 1986. So I'm comforted and pleased and honored that David would accept that mantra to be the official historian of the university. And at some point when he chooses to move on from his provost duties, has accepted the task of updating our university history, and I know that will be something that he will cherish doing, and we will all value reading at some point in our future. So, David, thank you for accepting that title and set of responsibilities.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. This university is a university of opportunity. It has certainly been so for me, and I appreciate the opportunity to do what I can to tell the story of this institution, and not only to tell the story of this institution, but to preserve to the best of my ability the basic research materials that not only I would need, but future scholars would need in studying this institution. So I tend to spend a good bit of time in conversations with previous presidents, previous faculty members, previous members of this board, partly for what my own work, but partly because it's important that those records are available 50 and 100 years from now as well. So I appreciate this opportunity very much.
All right. Go back to approval of our motion for approval for the Emerita appointments as described. I hear a second. Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Emerita appointments are approved. And I appreciate you delivering the information, and Mr. Chairman, that's all we have on our academic.
Dr. Bale, if I could add just one other thing quickly. Speaking of milestones, we passed an important milestone in the last few weeks, with the groundbreaking for the new medical school that is being built in partnership with the University of Kentucky and Bowling Green Medical Center. This is, I think, a very important moment for this university. It's an exciting opportunity for our students. And just a couple of days ago, we also received word that the Medical School Accrediting Board, LCME, has approved the Bowling Green campus, so we've kind of cleared a major hurdle with this. This is a very important thing going forward for our community, for this university, and for our students, who I think are going to really benefit from this opportunity. But I suppose the bigger, broader picture is, I think long-term it's going to have a very positive impact on healthcare in South Central and Western Kentucky. But it's an exciting thing, and I did want to mention that with the groundbreaking and the approval of the accrediting group, that particular project has taken a couple of very big steps forward. Thank you very much.
Chairman. Thank you, Regent Bell. We now